Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. If you want to come on by, we got Tolo shirts, we've got Amazon Echo Dots to give away, and Nelly tickets as well. And thank you very much. The way I phrased it was incorrect in baseball nuggets. I meant before this year, it had been 8 years since anybody had hit four home runs in a game.
Gotcha.
We've seen it multiple times this season. Thank you very, very much to the 972. I did not phrase that correctly whatsoever. And right now, we bring on from NFL.com, it is the maestro of Micah Math on her revenge tour, I hope, Cynthia Freeland. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. You know, I'm glad you said that because I love your fan base. I'm being very serious when I say that. They're amazing. But they definitely came after me when I said I wasn't so sure I wouldn't be so. And that's fun. Good. God forbid we're competitive in football. Oh, my goodness. You know?
Yeah. And one of the reasons, Cynthia, I'll defend you to the bitter end on air. But I was not going to do it on Twitter because there's no way to win on Twitter. It's not a real place. So I was like, I'll just let her fight that battle if she wants to. But you did a great job, per usual. And you nailed it. Hold on.
You need to talk just a little bit more about her taking the high road. Because
okay.
I would have started this segment by being like, F you, all you haters. I saw everything that you said. Guess what? I was right.
You have the floor.
I don't actually feel that. I'm like, look, I thought, right? It's a lot easier to trade. To me, the argument was, you know, I believed it was a stronger rumor than in past seasons, and it's a lot easier to trade a guy with Micah's skill set late in the game. He fits anywhere very quickly. It's not going to take a lot to onboard him literally on any other team, whereas like a Dak or even a wide receiver, the chemistry, all those things take a little bit of time, so the leverage changes the closer to the season starting. But, you know, I always love the competitive, truly. I think it's funny. I mean, Twitter is wild, but like it's for the most part, like, you know, like I say things with measure. I'm very measured with what I say, so I'm here for it, you know.
When you broke that news, that was Kevin was out of town. He was in Germany teaching kids how to play baseball and about Jesus.
Fun.
That's true.
And so he was out of town at the time. But when you said that and kind of broke that news, obviously again there were people that were questioning it. Did you know at the time that it would be trade, or were you just thinking at the time, no, it's more likely he's just going to stay away from it? Because even the Cowboys at this point are like, we just started talking trade recently.
Yeah, I more was going off the fat, like some conversations I'd had, but really, like I'm not taking some victory lap here. I just believed it was a stronger rumor than, you know, then I didn't know exactly how it would net out, but I believed that the chasm was strong, like it was a real chasm and not like one of these fake ones where like, yeah, okay, everything's fine once we put pen to paper and there's a whole bunch more zeros in my bank account. You know, it felt like a different divide than in the past.
Yeah. And it turned out to be, obviously.
Yeah. I'm still stunned, and I just didn't think that Jerry would actually go all of the way. You know, like, I understand why there were the arguments. Just, we're lifelong Metroplex people, and since, obviously, people brought up a million times the Herschel Walker trade, you have not really seen the Cowboys pull the trigger in terms of sending away a star player. So I had heard the rumors, I had heard your reports, and I was like, man, I hear you. I just can't see him doing it. And so that press conference yesterday for me, even after we knew the news, it
surreal.
Was kind of surreal,
yeah.
And not just because he kept calling him Michael Parsons.
Listen, I love the shade, but ultimately, like, there's two things here. Number one, can we get a little love for Kenny Clark? I feel like everyone's like this whole thing is over. Kenny Clark is a really good player. It has been an Achilles heel of the Cowboys to stop the run. At least they're trying to solve for, like, let's just call some positive thing. Poor Kenny Clark is on the other side of this trade, and it really has nothing to do with it. He's a great player. Like, I want to give him a little bit of his flowers, because go watch his film. Watch it all the way back from, like, UCLA or wherever. So he's a great player. So that's the first thing. And the second thing.
Can we stop on that for just a second? Since you love the numbers and everything, I'm really glad that you brought that up. The Packers are shouldering a lot of the cost of that. So the fact that not only is he a good player, he only counts against the Cowboys cap like $2.3 million. This year, and then none of the rest of his deal is guaranteed. So just from like a dollars and cents point of view, I really like the flexibility here as well.
Absolutely. Look, the cap is hard to navigate, because that's what makes our sport so amazing. That's why we have part of the reason parity and the cap are the reason why we have teams go from worst to first in their division every single season. And the fact that it hasn't been a repeat winner in the Cowboys division since the 2003-04 season, which is like a really long time now. So,
yes.
You know, like the point is, you know, getting your cap right and resetting it, they've paid a lot of players. Everyone does cap a little bit different. It's voidable years, all these things to kind of amortize things into the future. This is where the Cowboys have to sort of reset. You can't pay everyone all of the time. And if they're making this decision that it wasn't going to work with Micah long term to give him the deal, even though they didn't have to do it this year, but to give him the deal that, you know, he wanted going forward to be happy, I think it was smart to get a player of Kenny Clark's, like, I get it. He's when you play on the inside, it just never looks as splashy as when you play on the outside. But Kenny Clark is really good, guys. Like, I don't know. I feel like poor Kenny's getting like the shady side of the deal. And I'm like, keep his name out of your mouth. It's not him at all that had anything to do with this.
I watched him a little last night. Looked at some numbers, especially understanding Eberflus played against him for 3 years, so the defensive coordinator knows who the guy is and probably had some voice in that as well. Before I get to more Kenny Clark conversation, though, is that a coffee mug or a soup bowl that you have there? That is a giant mug.
This is called what happens when you have to like redo all of your projections and numbers because of Micah Parsons later in the day. You know, I'd like to have the weekend. This is, you know, it's our last weekend without NFL football. I just want to be a fan of college football, so I wanted to get all my work done before that. So I just got to wake up, you know. I got to wake up.
I get it.
Do you also blur out the background so Corey can't stalk your house or your apartment? Because he might.
I would never do that.
I blur out the background because there's a giant carrot. My dogs love this giant carrot. And everyone's always like, what is that carrot over his shoulder? Like, we have to keep it high. It's the loudest toy ever created for dogs. So most of the time it's the giant carrot's fault.
Well, I mean, obviously I was looking in Kelsey and Taylor's background, you know, trying to figure out the Easter eggs they had there. So I was looking at the Cowboys rush numbers last year, and they were fourth worst in yards. They gave up about 4.8, almost 5 yards a carry, 25 touchdowns, the most touchdowns they'd ever given up in team history, and the most last year as well. We know the pass rush numbers when Mike is on the field, they're very good. But Jerry talked about balancing that out. When your pass rush isn't effective enough to keep them from running the ball, then you have to stop the run. Do you not see where the balance, the figures kind of come together? Because somebody asked, they were like, isn't it kind of if you go 18th to 20th in stopping the run, doesn't this make this a good trade? Where's that balance come with what do you think the pass rush and rush numbers will be for the Cowboys in the future here?
I'm going to be honest, I don't think it's going to be the best season for the Cowboys defense. Like, I didn't think it was going to be the best season for the Cowboys defense prior to Micah being there. Yeah, no, it looks a little different, but I think that it's not going to also be as doom and gloom. Like, I think the pendulum swung too far. Like, before, people were like, oh, it's going to be really, like, very good as long as Micah comes back, whatever. And now, I'm like, your secondary is still very banged up. Like, that's going to change. That really changes the pass rush, and it makes the run defense more valuable if you can't stop them. Anyway, so I didn't think it was going to be the most stellar season of the Dallas defense to begin with, but I also don't think it's as doom and gloom as everyone is kind of making it out to be. Sure, you do have to make the picks that are associated with this trade, and they have to turn into good players. Sure, we won't know who won the trade, blah, 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 for years. We get it. But ultimately, you know, if you make the decision, get enough value in return. And I think that is a point where it's possible that the return, if the picks turn into good players, longer term, it could be quite different. But I think this year, maybe, you know, I don't expect huge strides in the defense, but also don't expect it to be like so doom and gloom that you're not going to get anything good. Like,
yeah.
I think it's going to be not great, but not insane.
Yeah, and that's the, I think a lot of people are, you know, the Luka trade, they feel like we got fleeced with that and everything. So they're like, they feel like they got fleeced again. Do you feel like the two first-round picks and Kenny Clark as a combination package is a good deal here? Because we do. I think we do.
Yeah, I mean, again, sure, like, I like if you're not going to find a marriage that works with the player, get the biggest return on investment, and this is a great return on investment if it's not going to work out. Of course, it's always hard when you already know the player that you picked, Micah Parsons, has like a 19% pressure rate, which leads the league. Like, we get it. Like, he's good. But the reality is if you can't get to a place where that's going to be cohesive and work out, then get the future value and kind of see where it falls. So I think it will ultimately be okay. I just don't necessarily think, like, if I'm in that locker room today, I'm like, okay, we got the Eagles in a week, or less than a week. Yeah, like, that doesn't seem fun. I don't think the Eagles seemed fun before that, you know, like, but now.
Yeah. So I think I'm with you in terms of, but what you were just saying just a second ago is, like, even before this trade, it didn't look like the Cowboys, whether it's defensively or the team as a whole, were going to be world beaters. And so I like the deal just because you weren't, I don't think you were, like, going to make a run at the Super Bowl this year or anything like that. You were going to fight to maybe get the right to be the road team that loses in the wild card game, you know? And so for me, I'm like, if you have an asset and you can start to build, whether that means you're looking at a quarterback for trade in the draft in future years or whatever, that's why I like the deal, is because I'm an assets person, and I'm like, you weren't going to win this year. I have questions about next year, so why not just build up some assets?
It's just never fun in the short term to
for
be
sure.
feeling like you're playing with one arm behind your back,
yeah.
right? Like, nobody wants to feel like that, but it is very hard to both reset, especially if your cap's a little, like, this modern cap dynamics have changed, right? So they need to modernize it. It doesn't appear from the outside. I don't have all of the full, you know, information about how, but based on what we can piece together as outsiders, I don't think they need to get to this modern way of doing cap. And you don't do it by, I mean, even the Eagles, who are very good at it, they had to take their lumps, figure out the Carson Wentz redeal after all of that. Like, you have to take your lumps, and in a couple of years, it will look a little bit different, but it is never fun during those couple of years to be like, hey, like, are we trying to win, or are we rebuilding, or what are we doing? Like, that just doesn't feel good.
Do you like, at least, though, that the Cowboys broke our heart now, as opposed to the Lions breaking your heart in the divisional round or the NFC Championship game?
Let's talk about actually the second half of the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know anything about the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, we don't know. We haven't been there in a while.
I mean, I'm like, at least you guys have these rings that go on fingers that are really big. Like, you know,
they're
Lions
nice.
Fans don't have it. But ultimately, I think it's like, if you're going to do it, then do it when you get the most value. You weren't going to get this type of value for Micah in several months. So might as well optimize for when the leverage is the highest for you. Look, like you said, they're paying for Kenny Clark. He's basically, I don't know, $2.3 million. What is that, like a fullback? Like,
yeah.
not to be like, you know, I love a fullback. Let me be clear,
yeah.
But they can be inexpensive. They're inexpensive players relative to some of the other ones. So point being is, you know, might as well go. And if you're going to do it, get the most return on your investment. Like, I don't think it's that, like, I don't think it's as crazy as some of the, you know, these grades that we get. D, A,
yeah.
Like.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think it's as simple as that, right? Like, and you also have to remember chemistry matters. You also have to remember, you know, the owner matters. Like, every owner is different. I've watched the Netflix thing. Like, you know, I get it. You know, like, this doesn't feel... I know Irv very well. He was the officiant of my wedding. Like, I get it. Like, you know, these are things that, yeah, that was the most amazing. Yeah, I just dropped that in there. But like, I'm a fan of what being who you are, and no team is who they are more than the Cowboys. So it might not be like the sexiest move for the Super Bowl this year, but it's going to be all right.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
Actually, that's my name on Zoom right now. Things will be okay.
Yeah.
So I think you're still on mute.
Okay.
if I can springboard off of the wedding mention.
I think you're still on mute. Oh, there we go.
Okay, there we go. All right. So I have a football adjacent question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got married on July 4th, 2026, they could steal all of the thunder away from the United States' 250th birthday?
You know, a good bit of it. A good bit of it.
Well, that's what I think, too.
There's always a lot of things to celebrate. You know, why not celebrate more? You know?
That's true.
I actually have a football-related question.
Oh, that was kind of football.
I selected Saquon Barkley, Chase Brown, and Travion Henderson in my first six picks. Did I do okay at running back? Am I going to be all right there this year?
I'm curious to see what the rest of your team looks like, because if you're picking
Baker,
those guys so early,
I'll text it to
back.
You.
Well, we appreciate your insight very, very much. And at some point, if you want to show us the giant dog toy, I'm sure Corey would be stoked about that. It's going to happen, baby, right now,
go.
Corey!
It's a giant carrot.
Holy crap, that
cool
is the
carrot.
Biggest carrot I've ever seen.
I had a pickle like that for my dog for a while.
It's
was
the
gigantic.
Largest toy known to, like, it, but it's also so, oh no, that's coming now. It's
we're going to have to mark that.
It's so incredibly loud that it rings. My neighbors can hear it. It's insane. So, but they love it, so I can't throw it away.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for always having fun with us and also giving us the great football insight. We appreciate you as always.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the first, you know, the last weekend without NFL football for a little while.
I'm sorry. One more thing. Speaking of when NFL football comes back, can everybody see you? Can we get you on the pregame shows and everything? When can we find more of your content?
Oh, yeah. We got pregame shows galore. We have one Tuesday this week. And then, of course, game day morning, the full game day morning is back in full effect on Sunday. I also have, like, my YouTube channel, which is Numbers Game. And then I have a new pod. There should be there will be a very large, very, very, very good Cowboys player on there coming up soon. Former Cowboys player, unfortunately, because, you know, retirement hits us all. But, you know, you're gonna like that. It's basically a whole pod on numbers versus how players kind of feel the impact of analytics. So it's man versus machine. So it'll be great.
Ooh, all right.
Good
so
concept.
New podcast with Tyron Smith is what I'm hearing. is my
Move
guess.
Over a couple of spots.
Okay.
I got ideas. We got ideas.
Thank you again, as always. Well, we appreciate
he's a guest. He'll be a recurring guest. And
I love it.
I
thank
just
you.
Want him on all the time. So I'm just, you know, but we do have the normal co-host will be Logan Ryan. So he's won two Super Bowls with the Patriots. So not, and then we'll have some additional guests. One big Cowboy, though, like just to get, you know, definite Hall of Famers, just like Tyron. Maybe Tyron
right.
will come on.
Zach Martin.
It's Zach Martin.
Look
we can't wait
to Zach
see
Martin
Zach Martin
with Cynthia Freeland. Thank you very, very much for the time. We'll see you later.
Hi, Cynthia.
There you go,
Hi,
ladies
guys.
And gentlemen. Cynthia Freeland right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we are live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. Coming up next, we have an option. Colorado football fans, unkind tennis players, and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? And we might just do that with one Bobby Belt next right here on The Fan. Can't see Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Look.
It's a busy day.
There are a lot of things happening at Uncle Julio's in Frisco. But I want to mention this on The Fan text from the 940, Kevin. Jerry Jones did not want your margarita. 100%, I got a text yesterday when the Micah trade went down. Why didn't you offer him a full meal to come to Uncle Julio's? Now, yesterday, we bring on Bobby Bell. And again, I want to shout out you, Bobby. I know the way I usually talk sounds sarcastic.
Sure.
I need you to know I mean this.
Oh, that's nice.
You show up at and support so many other events and shows and everything. I think that is super duper cool.
Thank you.
I think
appreciate
it's kind of
it.
Annoying, but
now I do. Okay, I do well, just. I basically run up y'all's tab.
Yeah,
I mean that is the whole purpose.
That's fine. That's Cody's problem,
like,
not ours.
Yeah.
But somebody I said yesterday, we'll get you a chocolate pinata, Jerry. We'll get you a margarita.
What is a chocolate pinata?
Well, it sounds like we're about to display that.
Because I mean, I'll be honest, it sounds like a euphemism for something.
No, it's not a weird sex act.
Okay. You just went for it. Cool.
Maybe it is, but it is more men. As a food here at Uncle Julio's, and then people were like, why didn't you offer him the full meal and everything? So I might have cheaped out, much like Jerry. No, I'm just kidding. I want to get your take for people who, for whatever reason, if they didn't get to listen this morning, mm-hmm. or they didn't get to make their way out to the Firehouse in Red Oak, where I know you guys had a great turnout there. What is your general thought about the deal, considering all factors?
The trade itself or the deal Micah signed?
The trade itself.
So, look, here's the thing, is that if you want to complain about the return they got, I understand. You have to complain from the perspective of trading him in March, though, like this past March.
I get it.
Because that's the thing, is that teams basically, and I had asked around a few different people that I know around the league yesterday and today, and the general sense is teams looked at it and said, all right, you guys are heading for a divorce. That's clear. You guys are not going to stay together. So you can tag him if you want next year, and fine, we'll give you two first-round picks for him. But, I mean, at that point, we know that the max we're going to pay is two first-round picks. So in order to speed that timeline up by 6 months and to basically give us an opportunity to have him in 2025, we'll give you something else.
Yeah.
But two first-round picks is the core of it, and then you can get something else, and the Cowboys got Kenny Clark. So if you wanted them to hold out for a better deal, they weren't getting it. If they waited till the offseason, you were going to just get two first-round picks and no player.
And you were
going
to have...
Doing it now gets you two first-round picks and the player.
And you were going to have a player that was a problem all season long. I don't think that he would have been just a, you know what, I'm going to be the golden child.
He was not going to play.
Season.
Yeah. He was not going to play in week one, and his entire plan was to sit out.
Okay. And it maybe even it would be, hey, you know what, I am going to play this week. T. Higgins did this during his franchise year, mm-hmm. where he'd be there, and then all of a sudden, soft tissue injury. And I think that would have been the case. All right, we can rely on Micah, and then a couple games later you'd be like, oh no, you can't rely on Micah. So I think there was always going to be a problem.
All right, I want to ask both of y'all this, because you guys both are fans of the Cowboys. I know this is work and this is what you
sure.
do, but outside of that, talk about the fandom as well and what you think the general fandom will react. How do you think Cowboys fans will react when Micah, who was looking for, it really feels like a fake doctor's report so he could get paid and didn't have to play, immediately shows up at practice for Green Bay and plays that first game? Is that going to sour people at all? I don't think they're going to like Jerry Jones.
Sure,
I'm not saying that. But is that going to sour people at all on Micah Parsons?
I don't think so, because I think everybody's assumed that was the case already. I feel like it's no different than like, all right, here's our expert psychologist for the trial to say that this person is insane. And then it's like, well, we've got our own expert psychologist who says he's not insane. And so I think that was just viewed as that's the game. That's the chess match. And I don't think anybody really thought like Micah was just like a borderline in need of a wheelchair because his back was so bad.
No, I don't think... This is a struggle for me to answer because I don't think I'm answering as a real fan right now in regards to...
Wow, fake fan.
No, I know. I think because from my perspective on this, I just always assumed that the back wasn't a problem anyway. It was part of the negotiation part anyway, so I just assumed all of it was part of the show.
Am I a chump for that bothering you then?
You're a chump anyway, though. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. We're friends and we can say things like that to each
other. That's mean.
No, the... I. You know what? That's fine if it bothers you, but you also get bothered by people not owning, like living up to their contract.
And
that was a problem for you this whole time.
And I understand the owners have that mechanism to not live up to their word as well. I can see that a million
times. And I understand he was under contract too. I understand all of those things, but I know the guy was using any leverage he could find. And so that was a part of it, was I'm just going to be here with a back injury, whether you like it or not.
Now, Bobby, I want you to pause for just 1 second. Corey Majors.
I wasn't talking when you told me to pause.
Don't worry about that queso real quick. I want you to look to your left.
Yes.
Do you see that gentleman right there?
Yes.
What he has in that bag is a present for you. If you want to come on down, I know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
So.
Is this the Oral Hershiser box?
If you want to do some
opening. Oh, no, what? He's the one that texted in earlier?
I told you.
I saw one of those on the WNBA court the other day.
Shut up. It's not a green veto.
So we're trying to help Corey win Oral Hershiser's love and affection.
Yes.
And so presto changeo, cards in a box, which you know where they're set up at? At the Star.
In Look
Frisco.
At that.
They probably knew about the Micah deal before anybody else.
Cards
so,
in a box.
Just saying, we might be able to make that happen. All right. Sorry, Bobby. I just wanted Corey to get that adulation and enjoyment.
It's a
right
great
there.
Moment. I love it.
Thank you.
I like
All right,
you,
so
Bobby.
We're going to do. Oh, yeah. I love you too, Bobby.
All right. Thanks.
I love him more right now.
So, can we talk for just a bit about the monetary aspect of it?
Yeah.
The deal that Micah got from Green Bay versus, I don't know what.
Yeah, Nick Eatman talked about this on the air.
Okay.
So this is the thing that I think has been interesting that's developed this morning, or at least that's been understood this morning. A lot of people were hearing buzz about what did this offer look like? What was this offer, and how much were we looking at here? And the amount that had been reported yesterday by Adam Schefter, Dan Graziano, and Todd Archer at ESPN was 5 years, $202.5 million. That's $40.5 per year. And that's how everybody's compared it, is because he got the extension from Green Bay for $4 for $188. So that's $47 a year. So that's kind of how people have talked about it. It's just like, oh, well, it was 47 versus 40, basically. Why? Yeah, that's a huge difference.
And I'll tell you this, because I know where you're going to go. I think 47 per year is wild.
It's a ton. Yeah, it's a jump. So hearing those numbers for the last couple weeks, that's how I've understood it to be. Is okay, 5 for $202. Here's the only thing that was introduced as a wrinkle today by Nick Eatman that I've been running down today, and it sounds like is accurate, is that 5 for $202 included the fifth year option at $21.3 million, which means their extension offer, their new money offer, was $4 for $181 million.
All right, and so now we're talking about $45.25 million per year if you back out the rookie fifth year extension,
which the $4 for $188 million that Green Bay gave him is on top of the fifth year option.
So it's pretty similar.
So Green Bay's offer, if you want to talk in 5 year terms, Green Bay's offer was 5 for $207 million, basically.
Okay.
Or $208 million, and yeah. Dallas's was 5 for $202 million if you include the extension year. And so they were right there.
And so average year difference in terms of overall value, $1.75 million higher for Green Bay. And I know people are going to get caught up in the state taxes, and me personally, I care about that. For an athlete, and I really want your thoughts on this,
yep.
For an athlete and an agent, well, an agent's commission, I think we all understand, doesn't give a damn about those taxes. But also, I've always thought the number is big for the athlete as opposed to, like, I think an athlete cares more about, I got 47 than 45.
Yeah, that matters less to the agent.
Okay, as opposed to, I got 45, but with state taxes, it's only going to be 43 point, like what,
sure.
Whatever. I think it's the number, the status symbol, that really carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And the other thing is, I saw some of the numbers that are out there floating around of what he's potentially losing in taxes are assuming his entire salary is taxed that way. So in the NFL, you are taxed based on where you play that week.
Correct.
So if in the state of Texas, that means Micah's home games here, 8-9 games, depending on the year, those are free of state income taxes. When they play in California, that game check is subject to California state taxes.
Which is wild because Mike walked us through that once about the nightmare of being the accountant of a baseball player.
Yeah,
that sounds like the worst, right?
I don't think any player could do their own taxes. Yeah. It'd be really difficult to.
Not even Chu.
I feel like Shinsu Chu might be able to pull it off, but he's the exception that that proves the rule. Now, I go back to this, and I think this is why the trade doesn't bother me as much. I thought the Cowboys were going to be solid and fight and claw to be the road team in a wild card game. And I don't necessarily know if I think next year they were destined to take off or whatever. That's why this trade doesn't really bother me the way it is clearly.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struck a chord with a lot of people in the last 24 hours. It doesn't bother me because I'm in the asset gathering business, and I think this gives you a shot at a better future in, like, probably 27, although I acknowledge it makes you worse now, for sure.
On the surface and instantly, it does make you worse. I can't say with certainty they're a worse football team this year yet, because here's the thing. If this team was going to be 30th in run defense this year.
Yeah.
And adding Kenny Clark makes them – and we got to be careful on how we're talking about Kenny Clark as a run defender. He is not – it's not Gilbert Brown out there, like, just plugging up the – and stopping.
He's better than anything
there.
We have.
He is better than anything we have. But, like, he's generally been considered a decent run defender.
Yeah.
And then last year was average to maybe a little below average. But he's – you haven't even had average here as run defenders inside. So,
and he costs nothing.
Right. I mean, you've saved $19 million a year just this year. So Kenny Clark, let's say that adding him helps you to become the 17th best run defense, which is still not very good.
Sure.
If you are the 17th run defense and Donovan Ezeraku now is getting more opportunities and thus is able to perform at a level of picking up 10 sacks this season, which I think is within his reach. I don't necessarily think I'd predict it, but it's possible. So if you're getting 10 sacks out of Ezeraku and you've moved up 13 spots in your run defense, that might be a better defense than the one with Parsons wreaking havoc on the pass rush. That might be a better team overall. I don't know. And I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but that's at least not outside the realm of possibility. On the surface right now, when you look at it on paper, they are a worse team.
And then the release of Ryan Flannoy, I know in an unrelated transaction.
Kevin, my nachos are here, so I'm here. I'm still here, but my nachos have arrived.
Surprised about that, and is this going to be a thing where this is not necessarily the end of Ryan Flannoy?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's the end of Ryan Flannoy. There's always these sort of back end of the roster shuffles that happen. The one that surprised me more was that they were willing to take two guys off the waiver wire at corner and cut Andrew Booth and Zion Childress.
Especially, it felt like Childress, people were stoked
about
and
not
him.
Even necessarily because they had, like, played super well. I mean, they were Childress impressed some people, but you took two corners. Corners, your biggest question mark right now, I feel like.
Sure.
You have two corners who spent the entire summer with you, went through training camp, know everything that they're supposed to know. Childress, you felt well enough about that you said he might need to start in the nickel if Diggs can't play in the first game.
Yeah.
So you've got that setup right there, and then you tell me, well, I'd rather take the seventh-round rookie that just got cut and an undrafted free agent from last year that just got cut. I'd rather have them here for a week and have them play. That tells me your corner situation is awful.
Bobby, man, thank you very much. Now, Corey is going to be on Nacho and Card Duty. Coming up next, we will talk with Mickey Spagnola. We are live from Uncle Julio's in Frisco on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. We got those Echo Dots to give away. We've been doing some Nelly concert ticket giveaways. Bobby Belt is here. But what I'm trying to do right now, is honestly get the attention of Corey Majors.
Shout out to the Tolos who are here, man, rocking with us today. This is awesome that they're here.
They have like
around,
our little section,
having
it
some
feels
lunch.
Like.
Yeah, they did. They sequestered this off for us, and now we're filtering over to the rest of the restaurant.
You think they were smart to push us out of the main run of the restaurant, though?
I don't know
they
about
that, man.
They don't
want that. I think they were smart to do so. Now, a couple of things. We're going to talk with Mickey Spagnola. Oh, actually, right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Man, I got to admit, Mickey, and I know we talked about it for days, for weeks, for months. There is no way I thought that the Cowboys would actually pull the trigger on this. No chance.
I didn't either, because I thought that they would just hang in there. And here's the thing that makes it kind of surprising is they didn't have to do this, right?
Yes.
They had his rights. They could have kept him. They could have put him on conduct detrimental to the team, right?
Yeah.
Something happened here in the last couple of weeks that I think they started asking themselves, do we want to make that kind of commitment to Micah Parsons over basically it was going to be 5 years, right? Because
right.
This year's counts. That's yeah. one year.
Yeah.
And then the four-year extension. And do we want to commit that much money to him? Do we trust him? And I think that there was something in there that certainly hasn't been exposed yet that caused them to say, you know what, let's just go get these draft choices and move on and not make that commitment. Because here's the other thing. Remember when we've talked about this, and you probably got tired of me saying it. What's the other
Never.
Side? What's the other side asking for, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
everybody was assuming it just had to be, what, $41 million a year, right?
I am one of those people that assume that. That is correct.
And I kept saying, well, if I'm the agent, I'm asking for 50, and I might land at 45, right?
Right.
And so they were asking for more and fewer years, by the way.
Yeah.
And so that's where the hang-up was. But there was no deadline. There was no deadline whatsoever. And the funny thing was yesterday, we were doing our podcast after I talked to you guys, and I don't know, trade came up, and I scribbled down on my notes, 2 first-round picks and 2 starters. Well, I came up 1 starter short, right? Because
right.
they got 1 starter.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought maybe they can get another. So
yeah.
that's kind of the way I felt about it.
So one of the things that we've talked about, and I hope I have not beaten people down with math this morning, but one of the things that I really like about the Kenny Clark move, and we can discuss how good he still is how little you're on the hook for him. $2.3 million cap hit, give or take, this year, because Green Bay has already paid a ton of that money, and then no guaranteed money going forward. Like, I like the financial side of it as well. That's the part I appreciate to go along with the assets, the draft
well,
assets.
Here's the other thing you're going to appreciate, and I had the opportunity to just hear this because we had to retape part of a show we taped before the trade, right?
I'll bet you did.
They met him at the airport. Jerry Jones was right there when he got off the plane, right?
Yeah.
And this guy was really happy about coming here. Right? Oh. It wasn't like, oh, they didn't want me and felt like he, you know, the disrespected, they traded me away. He had a smile on his face and he couldn't wait to get here, showed up with his wife, his kids. So there's another thing. You don't have somebody moping around, oh, I didn't get enough money or oh, I'm disrespected. He wants to be here. Now, I'm not saying that's why you had to do the trade, right? The whole Kenny Clark, the stopping
sure,
the run.
Sure.
But again, I think they thought they were taking advantage of a situation where no team in the league had paid 3 players the most at their position in at the same time. No team. Rarely did anybody have 2 players paid the top salary at their position. The Cowboys were going to have 3. And he turned, and the agent turned their nose up on $41 million a year.
Yeah, it's a wild situation. I will say, for the agent, for Mulligetta, it feels like a win, obviously, because he got Micah Parsons tons and tons of money. I do wonder, I get it, you're going to be happy, hopefully, wherever you are, but I do wonder how open Micah was throughout this process to moving on down the road as opposed to being with the Cowboys for life, because that's something that I don't know how to monetarily kind of value. So I wonder if the Cowboys extension offer was really more like $45 million a year, is he going to be happy with that $2 extra million if he's on a franchise that he didn't necessarily want to be a part of? I don't know.
You know, that was going to be my next question for you. Can what? If you're getting $41 million a year, and can 45 or 47, whatever it comes to, make you that much more happy?
It could. I don't know.
Is it an ego thing that I got to have this money so when I walk into the locker room, I'm the king, right?
Yes.
You were going to be the king anyway. So, yeah. And maybe that's why he continued to show some interest in being here by attending the practices and watching, but I guarantee you the other thing that probably stuck in the Cowboys' craw was this idea about the back injury, because they knew damn well there was no back injury, right?
Yep.
And
yes,
he'll hit the ground running, because no one's going to make that trade for two first-round picks with a guy that's coming in with a bad back, right?
Agreed.
So that whole shenanigans, the charade, it's like, give me a break. Laying on the trainer's table, on the sideline, please. You know? And so think about if it was your money and you were getting ready to pay that guy, how would you feel?
Yeah, no, and you know, the craziest part of all this to me, Mickey, like the craziest part is all of this is going on. The backdrop has now become, oh, by the way, the NFL season starts in 6 days on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions. And that doesn't even feel like a thing that matters today.
Well, you know what? And chances are he wasn't going to play in that game anyway.
You're now, probably
I'm
right about that.
I'm not talking about what happens in the next game or anything like that, right? Because you will miss his presence. But you won't miss his presence hunting sacks and not wanting to play the run. And so, you know, now you got to try to, and I heard him say it, scheming up. It's kind of hard to scheme up, you know, to replace 12 and a half to 15 sacks a year that the guy was able to produce. I understand that part, but I just think there was more to it than, well, they were cheap. They didn't want to give him enough money. No, they were giving him enough money. They wanted more money. And I guess they drew the line.
Well, we appreciate you. I know we had to shuffle the schedule around. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you helping me out there.
Yeah, yes, no, sir. Absolutely. Yes, who knew that this would be how it would all play out? Thank you.
You know what? This was funny. A bunch of guys here had things planned for last night, right?
Whoops.
And I said, yeah, now you know why the Cowboys drive people out of this business, right? They gotta miss things, right? You got to cancel things because something's going to happen.
No, you're right about that. Well, we will catch up with you again next week because it's game week.
Yeah,
so
let's roll.
Thank you
now,
very much.
Are we working on Labor Day?
We will have.
We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Yeah,
Mickey.
We will, but Tuesday. We will be live and local on Monday, so we'll probably hear you on Monday as well.
It's a work day.
There you go. Thank you very much, Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Now, real quick, Corey, and I know we got Babe Laufenberg coming up. I wanted to just mention this to you. I continue to see this, and this bothers me, and I don't agree with it at all. The two firsts from the 901 are basically 2 seconds. They will be at the back end of these rounds. First of all, you don't know that. Like, you can think that, but you don't know that. And secondly, I went to the trade value chart just to check. The difference between the average spot that Green Bay has picked the last 2 years, which is 24, and the top pick in the second round. So if we're saying these are essentially second rounders, do you know what it takes to get up from the top pick in the second round to where Green Bay has been drafting?
No, I don't.
A third. So, like, if people are going to say, well, these are basically second rounders, okay, well, just even to make that happen, you'd have to trade an extra third. So I just don't agree with people who are devaluing the picks. If you think the Cowboys are going to get the picks wrong, that's a whole different deal. But I don't think you should devalue the picks by saying they're essentially second-round picks, because that I don't agree with that at all.
Well, and now, I mean, they don't know yet, but it's time to formulate the plan on what to do with those picks in the future, and that's where the Cowboys sit. They
yes.
can package them and get and move up. They can
yes.
stay where they are. They can spread them out and move down. They have a lot more options with the assets they have now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The parade of fun continues from Uncle Julio's in Frisco off of Preston Road. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys color broadcaster and former Cowboy himself. It's Babe Laufenberg next right here on The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.